Carrie, that'd make you 20 years old. Oh. Hey, how you doing? Are you awake? Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. And it, you know, I'm just fleshly sometimes. I get irritated. There's a lot of stuff going on, so people are in and out and whispering and talking, and I'm just... And I just need more of Jesus. Yeah, amen. Amen. I am going to mention and talk a little bit about irritation and how that ought to affect you in a good way. I was thinking this last week of people in my life that have touched me, molded me, had an effect in a way that kind of helped me go a direction toward God. And even though my mom and dad didn't come to know the Lord Jesus until they were later on, till I was an adult, they had a great influence, of course, our mom and dad do. And you've heard me tell many stories about my dad and his abuse toward me physically and emotionally and mentally, the beatings and things, but later on he mellowed out because he quit drinking, and we became the best of friends, and I loved him dearly, and I just have great thoughts about him. And one thing that I learned from my dad and my mom as well, and that is to... You face the difficulties of life, and you laugh at it. I mean, we used to laugh all the time, and it became part of who I am. I laugh at times when I shouldn't laugh, my wife tells me. She gets after me sometimes. Don't laugh at me. Anyway, and then my brother, who led me along a path to the Lord, and took a lot of time with me. And he was 12 years older, and so he was like my hero. And he's gone to be with the Lord. My parents have gone to be with the Lord. But the time that he took was a lot of time, picking me up every opportunity he could to take me to church or something spiritual. And then there's my oldest brother-in-law. He hasn't gone to be with the Lord yet. He's 100 years old. And he's the one that took me when I was being abused. And he took me out of the home as often as he could to take me places and to do things with me. And took me to church as a young kid, which, you know, at that time I hated. But he did that. And he reached out to me and he helped me in those times and had an incredible effect on my life. In fact, there was a lot of things I learned from him on how to rear children. And it molded my life. I wonder, could we just think for a moment in your own life, think for a moment, who in your life has been, had an effect on you in a good way toward Jesus Christ? I want you to just think for a moment, would you? Who was the one or the two or the three that helped you in a good way and molded you in a good way? Would you think of that? In fact, let's just take 5, 6, 7 minutes of silence. Man, that seemed like a long time. Now, did you think of someone? Was there, or your mind just blank, or you're thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon? But did you think of someone? I tell you, I have so many in my life, and even here in this church, those who have affected me and helped me in the path with Jesus Christ. Do you have an appreciation for anybody? Let me see your hand. Honestly, do you? Okay. Most everybody here, that would be the case. Now, let me turn it around on you. Who are you doing that to? are you just going through life in a way that would just a selfish, self-pleasing way? Or do you have people that you're reaching out to? Do you have people that you're putting your mark in their heart and in their life and turning them a direction toward Jesus Christ or helping them along the way in Jesus Christ? You see, that is to be our life. The problem is we live in a day where we are so self-focused. We would have never dreamed when I was a teenager about a selfie. Because it would have been embarrassing. You're doing what? You're taking a picture of yourself? I remember when Pam and I were much younger, and we were in Hawaii, and Hawaii was just flooded with these Japanese people. Just flooded. They were all over the place. And we were laughing at them because they were taking pictures of each other. And now everyone does that. And that's okay, nothing wrong with that. That's who we are, that's our culture. But I want you to see something in our lives, in our culture, of a selfishness. That scripture that I have in 2 Timothy 3, it's on the right hand of the notes there. It says, but understand this, in the last days will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. It's almost like we're living there in our culture. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, instead of a love for God and a love for what God wants, we're going different directions. Even the church. You know, how could I put this? The church, it seems, are more concerned who is in the White House than who is in God's house. They just got quiet. And we're not thinking of other people and, hey, where are they? How are they doing? I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to take them out to lunch. I'm going to care for them. I'm telling you, I had a lot of people that did that for me and helped me along the way, and so did you. And we need to do that. We need to get out of ourselves and love people. In fact, that is the bottom line of Christianity. If you were to write it all down, that's it. Because Jesus said you'll fulfill the law if you love. That's the bottom line. If you love people, you'll obey the Word of God. So what's happened to the church? You know, I don't know. But let's not let it happen to us. Let you and I be different than that. Let's get off of our lazy bones and reach out to someone and think of someone and text someone and call someone and take someone out for coffee. If you can't afford Starbucks, McDonald's is pretty cheap. And the coffee is not that bad. Because this is love. In 1 Corinthians, as we said last week in chapter 13, it's between 12 and 14. And let me read to you there 1 Corinthians 12:31 in your notes. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And he had just mentioned a bunch of gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And you know what that way is. A way of love. I mean, I got to tell you, if we have love, there is no such thing as racism. If we have love, churches don't split. If we have love, marriages don't split. If we ooze with love, it solves so many problems, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. I mean, people are looking for someone to love them. But let me tell you, that's not the answer. The answer is not finding someone to love you. The answer is loving someone, because that will bring about something of change and fulfillment in your life. Oh, someone pay attention to me. Someone love me. Some do. No. Who are you paying attention to? Who are you loving? When you come to church, are you just looking for someone to see you or to, I hope not. I hope when you come to church, it's more than just filling a pew. It's more than just listening to a sermon. I hope you come, and you ought to come a little early. You ought to just come a little early, because to see who's there and to reach out to someone that come in, that God might touch your heart, that you might touch your heart for them. What would happen if we loved like that? If we had that kind of thrill in our life to think of somebody else beyond ourselves and to care about someone else, what would happen? Let me tell you, there would be a dynamic change in you and maybe in other people. But as long as we're just thinking of ourselves, as long as we just think of ourselves, we're unhappy. And we don't understand why the world doesn't revolve around us. Why people treat me shabbily and won't pay attention to me and won't come to my seventh birthday. What's that? Okay. I want us to read there in 1 Corinthians 13. That we might love as God would have us to love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I got to tell you, it is so hard for me not to stop on every verse and make a comment on it. This is just so rich and full and shows where much of the church is at in the wrong direction, looking to have the gifts and perform the gifts and to be somebody. Paul said, I'm going to show you a better way. And that's to love. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, I want us to just look at these things here from 4 to 7 in the next few minutes. Because these are the things in which God tells us through Paul on what love is. Let me just read them all real quick, and then we're going to go through them one at a time, or a couple at a time. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. And then these four things. Amazing. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. all things. That is amazing that Paul puts it that way. And I think he puts it that way to let us know and show us how shortcoming we are. Loves all things, or bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay. Love. Love is patient and kind. Patient. I was tested with my patience this morning. Not blaming anyone, just Dave Manning, because of my uneasiness. I want to say, stop it! Stop it! But love is patient, love is kind, and it's like those two things kind of go together. Because, now remember, when we're talking about patience, we're talking about patience with people. Patience with people. And kind toward people. A week ago Thursday was interesting. I was with, in a Bible study, and just to enjoy, if you ever want to go to a Bible study, you come about 11:30, 12 at Wendy's on Thursday. And they've got great salads, so if you're dieting, it's perfect. You know, if you want to really enjoy a hamburger, it's my wife's favorite hamburger. Anyway, so I'm there with a group of people, and I was so glad that someone in that group stood up to me. Because I was complaining about something. Actually, I was complaining about myself. I was complaining about something about me, and Julie was there. Oh, I didn't ask Julie if it was okay to, it's okay to mention your name? Julie. Julie was there, and as I was being negative about myself, you know what she said? You know what she said? She said, stop it. Just stop it. Now, that doesn't have to do with the patience. That has to do with the kindness. And what she was doing is letting me know that, hey, you shouldn't be putting yourself down. No, that's no good. And she was absolutely right. Now, I acted like I didn't hear her and just kind of walked away, but I did, Julie. And it was good. It was good what you said to me. And so I'm telling you that because when you are patient and kind, that doesn't mean that you just stand back and let people do whatever they're going to do. But there is something about being patient. How about patient to listen to people? And I think when he talks about patient, he's talking about being patient with people that irritate you, that bother you, that you want to run away from. Do you know anybody that you want to run away from when you see them coming? Yeah. Just two of us. That's amazing. Yeah, okay. Now, a few more people be getting honest. I told Pam, oh, I went to Starbucks, and I was so disappointed. I went in there, and there's this guy there. And I was going to go and study and, sit at a table and just enjoy, just an outing for me, you know, and just enjoy the day. But there was a guy there, not from our church. No, none of you know him. I just know him. And he irritates me. He's a Christian. And he just irritates me. And he irritates me because he will come and sit down with me when I didn't ask him to do it. And then he proceeds to talk and talk and talk and talk. And he talks nothing except about himself and what he's doing for God and how important he is in the church that he goes to. Now, I don't think I'm exaggerating that. Maybe Dave Manning ought to take a chill pill. And maybe, just maybe, if he took some time with this guy and listened to the guy until he was exhausted, maybe Dave Manning might have something good to say to him. Not in any kind of rebuke, but maybe an encouragement. Maybe something that would be said that would help him view himself differently. Not by rebuke, but helping him see himself. That he's great in the kingdom of God. He doesn't have to be braggadocious. He doesn't have to carry on about himself. Oh boy, I tell you, I need more love. I need more discipline to love. I need more patience to love. Because you see, along with patience is kindness. And so if I was patient with that guy, maybe I could do something of kindness to him. Because usually people that we don't like, we'll keep our mouth shut so we can get out of their presence. But he says patient and kind. The two kind of go together. It's not just a matter of putting your finger on your mouth and not saying anything, and you can feel good about you being patient, but do something of kindness to that person that bothers you or the person that gets to you. The person that pushes your buttons. Let me tell you what will happen if you will do that. The person who pushes your buttons, if you will begin to love on them and begin to be kind to them, there's something that will happen to you psychologically. You'll begin to get a heart for that person. Because you see, that's what love does. And you'll begin to care for that person. It might take a little bit of time, and it might take a lot of patience and a lot of kindness, but it'll happen. You'll begin to want to do some good things for that person that might have helped them in their life in Jesus Christ. That's love. That's what love is. It's not running from the guy that you don't want to listen to because you have your own agenda. But it's truly caring about someone that is maybe different than you, is weird. And you know the definition of weird that Carrie taught us a long time ago. A weird person is just someone that is different than you. You just might be a weird person as well. So, be patient, be kind. Don't be envious. Envy. Oh, you know, envy is probably one of the most powerful, destructive things in the church. Powerful in causing division, being bothered, irritated, cause you to gossip about them. I mean, let's face it. Abel was murdered by a brother who was envious. Joseph was sold into slavery. Jesus was crucified because of envy. There needs to be within us as Christians a willingness to prefer other people over ourselves. A willingness to let people be put up and exalted above us. A willingness and a desire to see other people get promotions, other people get funds, money, and things above us. Envy will destroy you. And you know what? Envy is one of those things that it's hard for you to face. Envy and jealousy. It's hard for you to face those things in life. Because I mean, who goes around? I don't think I ever heard it in Celebrate Recovery. I heard people confess a lot of sins, but not jealousy and envy. But it's one of those things that will destroy you. That's green with envy, you've heard that? It'll just mess up your day and mess up your life. Unless you love people. Unless you push people up. People in the front instead of yourself. Oh, I tell you, when people come in and they want to be seen, don't those things irritate you a little bit? Just me? People who want to be in front and always want to make a show and always want to sound off and want to be seen, yeah. Now remember that. Because it's the quiet ones that seem to have wisdom, Proverbs says. It's the quiet ones that people look at and says, you know, there's something special about that person. But the one who's always mouthing off, like that guy at Starbucks, a guy that will boast about himself. That's the next one, boast, wanting that attention. You know what I really try to do, I've learned, on people who boast, people who want attention? I remember my wife, this has been decades ago, but my wife said to me, she said, that person is just looking for attention. And I said, yeah, I know it. Let's give it to them. And that's what I try to do. People are empty inside. Give them a little bit of attention. I don't mean publicly, but I mean talking with them and listening to them. You know, people who are boasting and looking for attention are people who probably have a poor self-esteem. And they probably think poorly against themselves, and they probably look at themselves as has no value, so they try real hard to push themselves up and to push themselves out there so that someone might pat them on the back and say, hey, you're okay, I appreciate you, I love you. And that's what we should do. We ought to love those people. We ought to be Christians and care about them and reach out to them and spend some time with them and let them boast about themselves without you telling them to shut up, without you telling them they don't need to do that, but just absorb their insecurities. Absorb their weaknesses and failings and take it on and listen to them. It might do something for you in a love and a care for someone that other people reject, but you have a heart for them. Arrogant and rude does not insist on its own way. Now, I'm not going to take time with those things, but do you remember that prayer that I taught you? That I say, I still say this all the time. Lord, this day I don't have to have my way. Just say that. Lord, this day I don't have to have my way. Being selfish is something that just doesn't look good. Being a self-centered person who is pushing out there just doesn't look good. And it doesn't draw people to you. Being a person who always has to have their way. Just this last week, I was talking to Lily. And I usually give Lily her way about most things. But she was pushing the envelope on this one. You remember when she was pushing the envelope with me? Papa, wash my babies, and she brought me two babies. And then she brought her blanket, and then she said, okay, Papa, feed my babies. And then she said, okay, Papa, burp. Okay. Papa, why don't you nurse the babies? I said, no, I'm not nursing. That's as far as I'm going. Well, she was pushing the envelope, and I said, hey, I want you to stop it. And I want you to think with me, honey. I said, you know, if you're always having to have your way with your friends, you're going to lose friends. And so I'm just telling you that because I give you your way most of the time, but right now I'm not going to give you your way because I want to teach you a lesson in the importance of not having to have your way all the time. And she said something, well, let's do that tomorrow. I'll give me my way today. No, she didn't say that. It's not irritable or resentful. It's not irritable or resentful. Do you get irritated at people? Resentful? Do you know, now listen to this. This is big in God's kingdom. It was Moses that was not allowed to go into the promised land because he was irritable and bothered by Israel in their shortcomings, in their selfishness, in their complaining. And boy, he had a right to be. But listen, we're not talking about having a right about something. We're talking about love. We're talking about giving up rights. We're talking about caring about other people. And he got so bothered and irritated and resentful that he got angry. He struck that rock twice that God told him to just strike it once. And he did twice. And he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Think about that. Your attitude toward people is to be love. And if you're irritated at them and bothered by them, you know what's going to happen? You can be patient for a while, but if you're irritated and bothered, at some point, it's going to come out sideways. It just will. And you will say something, or you'll give a remark, or you'll do something that will hurt them, and then you've lost an opportunity to minister to someone. Think about that. We're to be a people who love people and not irritated. Now, I realize that you can't make yourself not be irritated. I realize that. You know why? Because you're not perfect. Because you have flaws as well, and because you irritate people too. I was blown away one time as a young man when my best friend told me, Dave Manning, that I had a gift of irritation. And it hurt me. It hurt to this day. No, I'm kidding. It hurt me. He said I had a gift of irritation. Well, all of us do to some people somehow. But what if you would ooze love toward them? Kindness, patience, those things that we've been talking. What if you would ooze that stuff? I'm telling you, God would do something inside of you. How many of you have a real pearl? Anybody? One person, two. Okay, you don't know if it's real or not, huh? You know how pearls come about? An oyster and this bothersome thing from the outside comes into it, maybe a grain of sand, and lodges itself in it and is bothered, and it irritates it so that it begins to ooze some stuff. And over a period of time, it creates a pearl. Now, I want you to think about that. A pearl from irritation. People that irritate you or you're bothered by, maybe God wants to do something in you. And the thing that you got to do is ooze love. Just like that oyster oozes something on that irritation, God wants you to ooze love. And from it will come something special in your life. I'm just telling you. I've seen it in my own life and I've seen it in other people. People who once might have irritated you, there's something in your heart that oozes toward them and you want to help them, you want to love them, and they even become one of your best friends. Any of you ever have that happen? Let me tell you the ones in our church no, I'm not going to do it. I've got a lot of pearls, baby. over 41 years. Pearls of forgiveness. Pearls of patience. Pearls of peace. Love that oozed because I didn't know anything else to do. But God used that person to do something special and create a special jewel in my life. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Let me tell you something about our church. We have an incredible loving church. If you're visiting here or you haven't gone here very long, let me tell you, I'm not preaching this because we don't have a loving church. We do. And a very merciful church. But you need to be careful that you don't go along with people who are doing evil and rejoice with them in the stupidity that they do. It ought to grieve your heart, anyone that's turned from God and gone down a path that's not God's direction, it ought to break your heart. It ought to do something inside of you. And then the all things. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, bears all things. How can I put it this way? I think in the King James or in one of the translations it says covers. And it reminds me of a scripture, and it's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:8. One of my favorite, one of my first scriptures that I preached on as a young man. Love covers a multitude of sins. I want you to memorize that. Okay? Let's say it together. Love covers a multitude of sins. And my first sermon, and I substituted the word sin for offenses. Let's put that in there. Love covers a multitude of offenses. It bears all things. It's not easily offended. It isn't bothered. Because there's such love. There's love that is oozing out of your life. You care for people. You just plumb love people. I was looking at hats on the computer one day and the different sayings. I love guns. I love women. And I won't say some other things that they love, but. And it would have I and then a heart. I thought, I want a hat that says, now don't buy me one. Hats don't fit me. I've got a billboard face, a big head. And if you buy me a hat, it'll be too tiny. And it will look like this little thing on my head. Don't buy me a hat. But I want a hat that says, I love people. I love people. That ought to be something that oozes out of our life. People. People. Jesus was all about people. Wherever he went, he was about people. He wasn't about laws. He wasn't about performance. He wasn't about just people that liked him. He just loved people. That's what he was all about. His love covered a multitude of sins. He wasn't so irritated at things that people said because he loved them and he loved being with them and he overlooked the things in their life. You ought to have that kind of love. And you think about your own relationship with family members or someone that you, a neighbor that bothers you that you don't like. Oh man, listen, ask God for some love for people and ooze it out of your life. Listening to people, caring for people. Are you lonely? Oh man, it'll take care of that. Are you insecure? Oh, it'll take care of that. What is the ill that you have in your life that seems to control your mind psychologically or even emotionally, that you're just alone and afraid and all those things. Let me tell you, love, if you begin to love people, it will just begin to cover those things. And you'll be fulfilled. And life will be good and wonderful because of the love that Jesus has shown to you. Bears all things. Covers a multitude of sins. Love believes all things. This is a tough one. Love believes all things. Well, it's not talking about if you know facts and someone tells a lie. Oh, I'll believe you when you know it's factual. But there's something in you that you want to believe, the best of people. That you want to believe that, and that just seems to be something that controls you. You're not always looking at them cross-eyed, you know, wondering. I had someone tell me who had worked in the prison for many years as a guard, and they said, I've just become jaded in my life with people. Well, don't let that happen to you. You see, what happens is you get hurt or you see something and you're bothered, and it begins to control your whole thinking. In fact, that's a lot of where racism comes from, is you see certain things that happen with people and maybe something that someone has done to you, and immediately you think they're all that way. Well, they're not. And if they are, it doesn't matter. You're to love. You're just to love people and to think about people and care about people and believe the best in people. I tell you, it's hard to, isn't it? In our culture, isn't it hard to think the best of people? Well, you watch Fox News, don't you? Or CNN? Or NBC? Or ABC or CBS News? I mean, you do watch the news, don't you? Myrna's the only one that doesn't. That's why she loves so wonderfully. We get jaded. We think the worst of people. I remember when Barack Obama was the president of the United States. And I'm sorry, but I'm a Republican. And I remember talking to people, and you cannot believe things they believed about Barack Obama. And I told one guy, I said, I don't believe that. Well, I do. And I'm not even going to tell you what he said because it was stupid. It was just plumb stupid. But you want to believe the worst of the people you don't like, or that you don't win in the position that they're in. And that's what's happened to politics, so let's get off of that. It should not happen to Christians. We shouldn't be so worried about who's in, I said this already, but let me say it again. We shouldn't be so worried about who's in the White House. We need to be worried about who's in God's house. Thinking about God, thinking about people and their spiritual welfare and their spiritual path and what is happening to them, the direction they're going. That should occupy our thinking, our mind, our life, our prayers. All those spiritual things. I had a guy tell me, sitting with him at lunch, he said, you know, I don't think you can be a Democrat and be a Christian. I don't know what kind of look I had on my face. It must not have been very nice. Because he said, oh, you don't believe that? And then I talked. And I told him about my sister and brother-in-law, the brother-in-law that's 100 years old and that loves me dearly. I love to go in their house. He loved to talk politics, and we talked politics. He was dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. And it made me realize, just because you see and view things a certain way doesn't make you not a Christian. He was an incredible man. My sister, incredible woman. They loved God, and they served God, and they did good for people. And it took me some time for me to grow up and to realize that, hey, You can be a Democrat and be a Christian. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know why I go down that path too. Anyway, love believes all things, hopes all things, hopes for the best, hopes for the future. Kind of a positive guy, not always negative. Oh, what's going to happen if Trump doesn't get back in there? Has anyone ever said that? Oh, don't you watch into the news? There I go again. Hopes all things. And then the last one, worshiping, come on up. Endures all things. Hopes all things, endures all things. Now I got to tell you, but we don't have time to do it. I was going to read it again and have you read along with me those things. And I wanted you to put your name in there. And then I was going to say to you, that just doesn't sound right to have your name in there. Like, love never fails, Dave never fails. That's the King James. No, it wouldn't be right, but I tell you, the person who can put their name in there, and that's Jesus. And he's the one that has shown us the love, and he has poured love out on you. He gave his life on a cross. He sacrificed himself for you, not for himself. He went down the path for you. How could we do any less than go down a path for other people and turn them to Jesus Christ? How could we do any less than that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's stand. Sing this song.
Love poured out for the price of freedom. The whole earth see, hear the praises rising. We stand in awe of what you've done for us. At the cross, the hope of the world. Lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide. To know you forever, to love you forever. You are our everything. Yeah, the hope of the world. Lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide. To know you forever, to love you forever. You are our everything.
On some people. Let's get some pearls in our lives. Because people will look at you and they'll know something special about you because you love. Jesus said that. They'll know you're my disciples if you love one another. So, Father, today as we go with us, and may we be a people who just ooze your love. Loving people and caring for people. That you be glorified. That the very life of Jesus might be seen in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.